Yeah, today we're going to talk about the devil. You don't hear about him a lot in churches anymore, but today we're going to... He tells you things like you're not worthy to be in church, things like that. You know, he's the father of lies, so we're going to go and we're going to give him a little bit back this morning. But let's first bow our head in prayer. Good morning, Heavenly Father. Good morning, Lord Jesus. Good morning, Holy Spirit. Heavenly Father, I pray we live this day in your presence and please you more each day. Lord Jesus, I pray that we take up our cross and follow you. Holy Spirit, I pray that you fill us with yourself and that your fruit ripens in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Holy Blessed Trinity, three persons and one God, please lead us and guide us in all that we do, and let thy will be our will. Let us walk forward confidently sure what thou hast planned for us is better than anything we could ever plan for ourselves. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. The scripture reading today tells us that Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness where he was tempted by the devil. I was led by the Spirit to write a message about the devil, and as soon as I put pen to paper, the devil began to attack, and he's still attacking. The devil has several names: Satan, Lucifer, Beelzebub, the tempter, the prince of this world, just to name a few. I have a few of my own, but Pastor Mary said I couldn't use them in church this morning. But she would. The devil loves to attack those who walk in the way. I've learned to take those attacks as a compliment because it assures me that I am doing what God's called me to do. Billy Graham once said that Satan doesn't care how much you theorize about Christianity or how much you profess to know Christ, but what he opposes vigorously is the way you live Christ, the way you become an instrument of mercy, compassion, and love through which he manifests himself to the world. If Satan can take the mercy out of Christianity, he has killed its effectiveness. If he can succeed in getting us to talk a good case of religion but live a poor one, he has robbed us of our power. Being robbed of our power is one thing that we, as a body of Christ, cannot afford to have done. The devil is the father of lies and he's a thief. It is written that the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. Satan will try to steal our joy, kill our spirit, and destroy our faith if we let him. If we're going to live Christ, we need to be ready to do battle for Christ. We need to be ready for spiritual warfare. So this morning, I would like to talk to you about ways to prepare for the attacks and share with you some ways that it is written to battle back when they come. Now, if you're thinking the devil never bothers me, it may be time for you to take a step out of your comfort zone, because Jesus never called us to be comfortable. If we look at the verse prior to our scripture reading today, it tells us that Jesus was baptized by John, he was filled with the Holy Spirit, and a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, whom I love, with him I am well pleased." I think we'd all agree that this qualifies as a mountaintop experience. In fact, it's probably about as high up the mountain as one can go. The devil likes to attack us after our mountaintop experiences because the mountaintop experiences only increase our faith and our trust in our great God. My mountaintop experiences were any time I got to share my story of God's grace. These opportunities were usually on a Sunday, making Mondays pretty rough. You see, Mondays were the beginning of the work week. I loved the people I worked for, but not the job I was doing. The devil would constantly remind me that it is written, "My sin is ever before me." But I'd remind him that it is also written, "Where sin increased, grace increased all the more." The mountains would only get higher when I was invited 2 years ago to speak in Atlanta, Raleigh, and Charlotte for Christian Library International. You know, I thought this was the break that I've been praying for. But as the mountaintops got higher, the valleys got even lower. And I turned home and I waited for the opportunity to just come pouring in, but nothing happened. I waited. And when the phone didn't ring and the emails never came, I went from the top of the mountain to the bottom of the valley, and I really struggled. The first dinner would be at Atlanta. I immediately accepted the invitation, but it wasn't long before the devil started putting doubts in my mind. I was reminded how the last time I was on a plane, I was in handcuffs and leg irons, even though I was a first-time nonviolent offender. But I quickly reminded the devil of the truth, that because of the blood of Christ, my chains are gone, and that it is written, that truth has set me free. Well, last fall, I was asked again to speak at Atlanta. But this time when I was asked, the devil didn't rear his ugly head. There were no reminders of where I was, because the Holy Spirit reminded me of where I am and who I am. I am a child of the Most High God. But as for the devil, I know he'll be back, because it is written, be alert and of sober mind, for your enemy the devil prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Based on my past experience, I know Satan would like nothing more than to take another bite out of me. But when he attacks, I'll tell him the same thing I always tell him, to get behind me, Satan, and remind him once again that my chains are gone and I am still free. I had another great trip to Atlanta. I returned home on a Friday, and the weekend that followed, the devil remained out of sight, but not out of mind. By the time Monday rolled around, I figured he'd be back. He usually is. As I mentioned, Mondays are a struggle and always a good day for the devil to pay me a visit. But when Monday came around, still nothing. But by the time I woke up Tuesday morning, I felt spiritually down in the dumps, more like down in the dumpsters. Because that morning I had some work bagging up piles of garbage for a friend. Garbage was all over and smelled like a pig pen. So the rest of the morning, the devil continued tormenting me, telling me I wasn't any better off now than when I was released from prison. Needless to say, it wasn't a good morning. But I learned a lot since that first trip. I've learned to enjoy the mountaintop experiences, but be prepared for the valleys below. Valleys are just part of living in a fallen world. I knew what I had to do. I've been down this road before, and I knew that I had to get off of it. I needed to spend time with the one I love. I needed to spend time with Jesus. So when I got home, I began to read my Bible and pray, and instantly my mood changed. And by the time I finished, my spiritual tank was full, and I was back on the right road, heading up the mountain and looking for new opportunities to work for the King. At the end of the scripture reading today, it tells us, then the devil left Jesus, and the angels came and attended him. But Luke's account tells us, when the devil had finished all his tempting, he left him until a more opportune time. The devil doesn't quit, he just looks for another opportunity. The devil likes to knock us off the mountain, but he loves to kick us when we're down, when we're tired, sick, hurting. I believe that's when the devil loves to attack us the most. My friend Jim knows what it's like. For the last couple of years, Jim had been battling some heart issues. He had several procedures done, but nothing seemed to work. And then he was referred to a doctor in Chicago, and the surgery was scheduled. The day before the surgery, the doctor's nurse called just to go over some last-minute details, and Jim mentioned that he had some recent chest discomfort, but he said, you know what, it's probably something I ate. The nurse informed Jim the surgery would need to be postponed until some more tests could be run. Jim had been preparing himself for the surgery for months. Hearing the news broke his heart and broke his spirit, and he let the nurse know that she had no idea what he was going through. Well, the nurse assured him that she did, which upset Jim even more, and he said, no, you have no idea. And then very calmly, the nurse said, yes, I do. And Jim listened as she told him how her cancer just returned for the fourth time. And although she was unsure of what the future held, she was sure that God had a plan. Jim was tired, sick, and hurting. He forgot that it is written, I know the plans I have for you, declare the Lord, plans to prosper you and not harm you, plans to give you hope, give you a future. So the Lord sent Jim an angel to remind him. You know, I found God brings others into our lives when we need to see him the most. I once read that God will either spare you from the suffering or give you the grace to bear it. God sent Jim grace to the nurse that evening, and I'm sure God will send the nurse the grace to spare her from the suffering or the grace to bear it. God has a plan. When the devil attacks, we need to be ready to fight back. From our scripture reading, we see Jesus fought the devil with the word, Or as Apostle Paul would say, the sword of the Spirit. And we need to do the same thing. You know, maybe you're facing a challenge today. Feel like the devil's taken away all your strength. One of my favorite verses in all Scripture is, I can do all things in Christ who strengthens me. You notice the word all? The Bible doesn't say I can do a few things or I can do some things, but I can do all things in Christ. The world, or more importantly, the one who thinks he runs it, will try to tell you differently. Don't listen to him. So through prayer and meditation of Scripture, you get your strength back only to have that little voice in your head tell you what you're trying to do is impossible. May I remind you that it is written, nothing is impossible with God. Maybe you're facing a tragedy. Romans 8:28 tells us, we know that in all things, God works for good for those who love him, who've been called according to his purpose. There's that word all again. Author Max Lucado tells us to remove the word all things and replace it with the symbol of your tragedy. He then asks, how would Romans 8:28 look in your life? And then he writes, in hospital stays, God works for the good. In divorce papers, God works for the good. And my personal favorite, in a prison term, God works for the good. All things, everything. It is written, all things. God works for the good for those who love him, who've been called according to his purpose. You know, along with the sword of the Spirit, we need to pray. It is written, pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. Author and pastor John MacArthur once said, praying, good praying is hard labor. Make no mistake about it. It's hard to stay focused. Three things stand in our way when we pray: the world, the flesh, and the devil. I like to pray before I get out of bed in the morning and then continue praying throughout the day. You know, I believe God loves to hear from us all the time. But I also believe that sometimes we need to take the time and get on our knees. You know, I recall a story of a young man who decided to visit an art museum. And he was staring at a painting with a confused look on his face until an elderly gentleman interrupted his train of thought. The elderly gentleman told the young man that this was his favorite painting in the whole museum. And to that, the young man replied how he didn't see anything. So the elderly man told him that he just needed to move closer. The young man still saw nothing. This continued until the young man's face was pressed right up against the painting, but still nothing. So the elderly man suggested that if the young man were to kneel, the painting would become perfectly clear. When the young man knelt, he looked up, he saw a picture of Jesus on the cross. Just like the young man in the story, sometimes we need to kneel before Christ. And we also need to fix our eyes on the cross. The Apostle Paul often compared our walk with Christ as an athletic event. And just like an athlete, we need to be disciplined, stay focused, and keep our eyes on the prize. For Christians, our prize is Jesus Christ. You know, I used to be 6'4", so people often ask if I played basketball. I played, but I had two things against me. I quit growing, and I couldn't shoot. My sons know what that's like. I lost my shooting touch in the middle of the seventh grade season. I had made 22 straight free throws without a miss, and then something happened. I lost my focus. I never missed, so pride began to rear its ugly head. Instead of listening to the coach, I began listening to what others were saying. Instead of fixing my eyes on the basket, I began fixing my eyes on the cheerleaders. So the next time I went to the free throw line, I missed. The next time I shot an air ball, not only could I not make a free throw, but I couldn't even make a layup. You know, looking back, I see how the same thing happened in my walk with Christ. I became blind when I began fixing my eyes on the things of this world. I had to go to prison to get my sight back. I forgot that it is written for us to fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith. James tells us that we need to resist the devil and he will flee from you. There are times resisting hasn't worked for me, so I've learned to flee from the devil, hoping the devil flees from me. You know, last summer I almost lost my temper in front of a young man I was trying to be a Christian witness for. But the Holy Spirit reminded me that it is written, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only for what's helpful for lifting others up according to their need to benefit those who listen. So I walked away and I came to our church to pray. God confirmed I made the right decision when I met Pastor Gabe as I was going in. I explained my struggles. He hugged me, he told me he loved me, and he left me with a prayer. If you ever run into a situation you feel you can't handle, sometimes it's just best to walk away. Or better yet, sometimes we need to run. When I was growing up, every summer, a carnival would come within walking distance to my house. I loved that carnival. I'd go to it every day. It was just the best part of the summer. Carnival had everything a boy could ever want, including the sideshows. And one of my favorite sideshows was Glug Glug, who was part man, part beast, and he was so vicious he needed to be kept in a locked cage. Well, my friends and I would watch Glug Glug dine on a diet of lizards and snakes and trembled in fear as he banged on the cage. And then at the end of the show, he'd bust out of the cage and everyone would run out of the tent screaming. Well, one night my dad told me he wanted to see this wild beast that was kept in a cage. You know, I wasn't as scared with my dad there. That is, until Glug Glug broke out of his cage again. But this time, instead of running out of the tent, I ran into my father's arms. You know, friends, when we're being attacked, we can do the same thing. Just run into our Father's arms. Because it is written, because he loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I'll protect him, for he knows my name. He will call on me, and I will answer him. I'll be within trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Let us pray. Lord, thank you for your saving work in our lives. Thank you for healing us, ridding us of the demons we wrestle with, and giving us new life. We have a story to tell the world about who you are and all you've done. Confirm your story in us, giving us the zeal for telling everyone we know. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Thank you.